Hi, this is Perry, and you're listening to the Chemist Corner Podcast for Tuesday, January 29th, 2013. Hi, and welcome to the Chemist Corner Podcast. I'm your host, Perry Romanowski. Well, this is our first podcast of the new year, and we are excited to share with you an interview with Melody Bockelman from PrivateLabelInsider.com. She's going to tell us about how she got into the cosmetic business and share some insights into what it takes to start your own makeup or cosmetic line. But before we get into that, let's begin the show with a little cosmetic science news. A couple of days ago, I was in Grand Rapids, Michigan for the inaugural meeting of the Society of Cosmetic Chemists Michigan chapter. This is a new chapter. The chapter just began this year and is going to cover all of the cosmetic chemists who live in Michigan. I know we have a few listeners from Detroit, so this is good news for them. That brings the SCC up to 19 chapters across the U.S. and Canada. The SCC is an excellent place to get updates on the latest research in cosmetic chemistry and to network with other cosmetic scientists in the field. It's also lots of fun, as the meeting in Michigan proved. It was held at the Amway headquarters, and I was really impressed with the facilities there. It seems like a great place to work. And the new chapter seems like it will be a pretty lively one. Although there were only 50 members, the meeting was attended by over 90 people. If you're looking for a way to learn about cosmetic formulating and to network with people in the industry, there really is no better way than being part of the Society of Cosmetic Chemists, or the SCC. I should mention that I was recently elected to the National Board of Directors as Area 2 Director. So if you're at one of the meetings in my area, which is St. Louis, Chicago, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Michigan, or Toronto, you just might see me there. So be sure to say hello. All right, let's get on to some science. There's a new gel technology that I read about. Scientists at Radboud University in Nijmegen have developed a gel that is supposed to be able to retain moisture 100 times better than any other gel. Interesting. The gel is made from helical polymers that twist together to form a nano rope. The unusual thing about this gel is that when it gets cold, it is liquidy. But when you heat it up, it becomes gel-like. This is the opposite of most gel forms, like carbomer. Now, there is no cosmetic application yet, but the researchers say they are in talks with cosmetic companies, as it may be ideal for something like a collagen replacement. It is compatible with skin and is composed mainly of water. They say the gel could have applications in a wide variety of cosmetics, including skin, hair, nail, and makeup products. This sounds rather interesting, and it would be good to find a new technology as a competitor to carbomer. Not that I have anything against carbomer, it's just that it is limited in its effectiveness for benefits like moisturization. It will be interesting to see where this technology goes. In today's episode, we want to focus on the practice of starting your own cosmetic line. One of the questions we get asked a lot about is whether you should patent your formulas or not. I have a strong opinion about this. Basically, I don't think you should. In fact, for a startup company, you definitely should not, unless your patent leads to some demonstrable consumer perceptible benefit. Let's call this segment, Why You Do Not Need to Patent Your Cosmetic Formulation. Getting a formulation patent is a gratifying experience for a cosmetic chemist. I got one a couple years ago for some hair coloring thing. It's very cool. You get to see your name listed in the official rolls of the U.S. Patent Office, and you get to add it to your resume or CV. It's great. It's especially great if the company you are working for pays for all the legal required fees. But if you are a cosmetic entrepreneur, getting a patent is probably a waste of your time and money. Here are three reasons that a small cosmetic business should skip getting a patent. First, patents don't prevent copycats. One of the main reasons people think to get a patent is so they can prevent their competition from copying their formula. Well, the truth is, in the cosmetic industry, patents do not have this effect. It is really a simple matter for a cosmetic chemist to start from an existing formula and recreate something that works just as well, at least as far as consumers can tell. If you have a patent, it's an even easier task. Substituting out one ingredient for another is not hard. Making something that does not violate the patent but works just as well is relatively easy. While you might believe your formulation is completely unique and new to the world, it most likely isn't. Or at least it isn't so different that a consumer could tell much of a difference. Consumers are not good at discerning subtle differences between similar formulas. Second, patents do not provide much benefit. Patents on cosmetic formulations do not provide the kinds of benefits that patents in other industries might provide. Mostly, the benefit is limited to making a patent claim like patent formula or unique formula. Are these claims really going to make or break your cosmetic product? If so, your product is probably doomed anyway. You need more than just the claim that it's a patented formula to succeed in the cosmetic business. And finally, there are really better ways to spend your startup money. Getting a patent on a cosmetic product can cost you tens of thousands of dollars. It can take a long time, and at the end of the process, it doesn't offer you much protection from competition. There are much better ways you can spend your money at the beginning, and they include your marketing efforts, your advertising efforts, PR events, packaging, and other brand building efforts like your website. While cosmetic formulas are what makes cosmetics work, it is very difficult to stand out through your formulation alone. There are plenty of nicely formulated products out there that never get any sales because they fail in the branding and marketing. If you have thousands of extra cash laying around, don't spend it on patenting your formulation. Spend it on building your brand. Melody Bachelman is a seasoned professional in the cosmetic industry. Her track record includes brands on QVC, HSN, large retailers, and grocery store chains. She spends her days helping entrepreneurs of all sizes create their own product line, and this is her passion. She's a graduate of Howard University in economics, and the classics have served her well in evaluating client projects. In her free time, she likes to make dairy-free chocolate and desserts and has a website called privatelabelinsider.com. Welcome to the program, Melody.
Hi, Terry. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on. I first found out about you through Twitter. You're pretty active on Twitter, or at least have been recently. And whenever I see something about cosmetic entrepreneurship, I'm always interested.
Yeah, I've been following you for a while, too, on Twitter, and I love all your posts. It's really funny, minus the microwave. We'll talk about that later.
Of course. So let's just get started and tell people about what you're doing and how you got involved with the cosmetic industry. So maybe you could just go through the story of how you got started in the cosmetic industry.
Sure. I am not a chemist, but following college, my plan was to move to South Texas, where I currently live, and run our family's cosmetic industry business. I started working there. I've been there over 10 years, and I started to have children. And so the demands of running a full-time cosmetic growing business and having kids kind of conflicted. So I stepped back, and I started to evaluate, like, well, what am I really good at and what do I really enjoy of the cosmetic industry? Because, as you know, there's so many different projects and facets and OTCs and cosmetics or whatever. There's so many different things. And when you're running an actual facility, there's a lot of different elements to the cosmetics business. So I stepped back and I realized that what I enjoyed most was teaching people how to start their business. And so I took all the experience that I've had working in the cosmetic industry and started Private Label Insider to teach people, you know, how to do their business.
Yeah, absolutely. And the so the family business, so that was something that your parents had started or something?
Actually, it was my aunt. She started it when she was 50 years old, and she's been in business for 20 years. So I have been trained to replace her in the family business of cosmetics.
Oh, great. And you guys are located down in Texas?
Yep, down in South Texas. We're about 30 minutes from South Padre Island area.
And what kind of products do you guys make?
We do a lot of skincare, any lotions, creams, gels, those sorts of things, OTC and personal care, you know, standard cosmetics.
That's great. And now you
you did not study chemistry. You studied economics. Is that correct?
I flunked chemistry. I actually got kicked out of chemistry. I went to Howard, and it's a very old building that is on the third floor that had chemistry class. And you know those magnesium strips?
Sure,
and
sure.
You light them up. They say, you know, whatever you do, don't put this thing on fire. I dropped it in water and put the darn thing. I tried to light it through a flame, and it blew up. And they said, you know what? Chemistry is not your thing. Because originally I wanted to go to school to be a physician's assistant, but I just could not make it through the science classes, ironic enough. But I actually excelled at business and excelled at economics and loved the numbers and the, you know, seeing the theory and the business side of businesses. So that's where I found myself planted, in my guess.
Well, one of the things that I brought that up for was because I just want that to illustrate that you don't necessarily need a background in chemistry to be able to start your own line, do you?
Oh, no, absolutely. Actually, I think, it depends. What you really need is a background in marketing and passion. I mean, as you know, you have to really enjoy doing this.
Yeah, because it definitely takes a lot of work. So tell us a little, I'm interested in your job. Tell us a little bit about the things that you do on a day-to-day basis.
Okay, well, currently most of my days are spent consulting on startups and existing lines. I help a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, who are evaluating whether or not they can get into the product, where their product fits in the gamut of cosmetics versus OTC, how to find the packaging. A lot of my clients are startups, which I love because, you know, they bring so much new energy to the business. When you've been in it for a long time, you know, you kind of, yeah, I know, you're going to be the next great thing. But startups, they come with a lot of passion behind them. So I spend a lot of time, I evaluate their total project. I evaluate, you know, what their best options are and the most cost effective. I would say, 90% of my day is talking about consulting on clients.
And how do people find you?
Primarily, actually, through Twitter and Google searches. But as you know, I'm very active on Twitter.
Yes.
And referrals, a lot of the manufacturers that I've worked with, that if we don't do a project, they'll refer them back to me.
Yeah, that really just shows you the power of the Internet. I mean, you know, just 3 years ago, that sort of stuff wouldn't happen. Yeah.
No, yeah, they wouldn't. And you know, Twitter is just amazing for businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have a pretty good following. Now, how long have you been on Twitter?
Not very long. Maybe a year, but I really just got very active in this business about 6 months. I've just committed to making this a full-time, business to help all these entrepreneurs who are looking to start their businesses. Only about 6 months. But the site's been around for about a year. Then I have a background. While I was in college, I started two e-commerce businesses, so I also have a background in SEO and web marketing, so I find that that helps a lot.
Yes, absolutely. Actually, I have fun with that because one of the terms that I wanted to rank for was most famous cosmetic chemist, and so if you go to Google, I do rank for that.
I would say that you are the most famous cosmetic chemist, really, in this industry. As you know, my chemistry thinks you're the best, so it's awesome. You've done a great job.
See, if Google says it, then you have to make it so.
Then it's true. That's right.
So let's get started. What's some of your best advice for someone who might be interested in starting their own line? We have a lot of cosmetic chemists and, just cosmetic entrepreneurs and students coming out of college who – probably have ideas for their own line. So what would be some of your best advice for someone who has an idea?
My best advice is to research. What I see happen a lot is a lot of people have a great idea and they know it's going to work, but then they go to market with it and they realize that absolutely nobody knows who they are because either one, they don't have the marketing background to get the product out there, or two, the market's flooded and saturated, or three, they're trying to brand a product that, you know, maybe it treats a condition in the skin that doesn't quite fall under the OTC monographs, but yet can't make the claim. So my best advice is to do your full research. Find out everything. Find out, you know, do a competitive analysis. Find out who's on the market already selling. Make sure that there's a demand for it. Find out where your product lies. Is it a cosmetic? Is it a OTC product? And do that before you even buy or formulate anything. I wouldn't even waste my time in the lab until I found out, do I have a market?
The key is to find your customer and create your brand and then make your products.
And then make your products. But a lot of people, especially scientists, a lot of scientists are so very technical that they don't think that way. So they think, you know, I've got a really great formula and I've done all this fantastic research on the raw materials and I know that it's going to help with this and this and that, but then they don't realize, you know, one, there may not be a market or a customer for it, and then two, you may not be able to make those claims. And I see that happen a lot, unfortunately. You know, they realize that maybe they can't make the OTC claims, or maybe they can't make the, you know, reduces the appearance of fine lines by 84% without doing the clinical studies, but they don't learn that until they're 9 months, a year, 18 months into a project, and then they feel like they've wasted their entire, you know, last 2 years of their life.
Yeah, it's so true. How difficult do you think it is for someone to start a successful cosmetic line? There's so many brands out there, so many products out there. Is it really near impossible to have a successful line?
You know, I always say it depends on how you define success, because, you know, I presented a line to QVC in April last year and they rejected it. And I was devastated. My client was devastated. But the reality was, is that their market wasn't our market. Again, I should have done more research on my side of it. But, if your idea of success is maybe you really want to have a really strong web presence and sell, you know, to online and sell, you know, not through someone else's retail chain, then I think it's very doable to start your own successful skincare line. If your goal is to get into Sephora on, you know, the big brands, well, I think, you know, the odds of doing that with something that's common in the marketplace are very slim unless you know someone famous. I say that to say, but if you have something unique, truly unique, that's patentable or you can tell a story around it and you have, pardon my French, balls to go forward with it, because it takes that. It takes the rejections. It takes the, you know, commitment to the product, to the line, and to modifying it, to be able to go forward and knock on those doors and get the rejection letters and still move forward, then I think you can do a successful line. So to answer your question, I don't think it's really difficult to do a success. I just think it depends on how you define success. And in today's internet world, as you know, you can market anything online.
Yeah, that's the thing about starting a cosmetic line now versus how it was maybe 5 or 10 years ago. It's really easy to get started online and get your distribution online. Whereas years ago, there was no online distribution. You'd have to go to a local store or try to get your product on the Home Shopping Network or something like that, and that was just really a lot harder. But nowadays, you can create your own line, research your market, put up a website, and have a PayPal click and say buy here or put up a shopping cart, and someone can order your product.
Right. Yeah. Nowadays, it's like incredibly easy to start a line, but to be successful, I do think, you know, what you see with a lot of the successful brands is the personality behind it and the story behind it and the why behind it. So, like, on your website, I noticed the 100% Pure website. Yeah, have you seen that line, the 100% Pure product?
Yes, yes, I have seen them, yes.
Okay, she's wildly successful because she found a market of people that, you know, are vegan or don't want synthetics on their face, and she just went after that and developed all of her own line, did her entire research, and she's huge. It's amazing. They can't keep products in stock. So there's an example of someone that started with just finding the right niche and then doing their research and then marketing it. And of course they were in the right location, being in California, but you know, I think that you can do a startup with the right niche, really.
Yeah, and I think that the nice part about niche marketing and starting your own is that the big companies aren't chasing those smaller markets, because if a product isn't going to sell 100 million or even has a potential for a billion right away, a Procter & Gamble, a L'Oreal, a Unilever, they're not really going to go after that market. They're going after the huge markets. And what that does is it leaves an opportunity for a smaller person to find a niche market and, you know, carve out a few million-dollar business, which is really great for, you know, an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, exactly. That's why it's right, Perry. It just depends on how you define success. Because if your passion is, you know, vegan products, or if your passion is chocolate products, or if your passion is whatever that is, and the big guys aren't doing it, that's actually a good opportunity for you. And what's interesting about the big boys is that, you know, yes, they're on the shelves, but they're not really, and they're, yes, in theory, they're leaders, but I mean, gosh, they just removed parabens from their formulas. That was like pulling teeth, you know?
Right, right.
It was painful. They're not in touch with what consumers really want, I don't think.
Yeah. Just coming to near the end here, what do you think are some of the key moves that someone who has an idea, what do they have to do to get started? What is like the one or two or three key moves that if you have an idea, you want to get started?
Okay. If you have an idea and you want to get started, first, write your idea down, obviously, and do a little research. See who's out there on the marketplace. What I want you to notice is, one, how many people are in your category? How many people are selling their lotion, cream, or skincare? What are their packaging and their sizes and their retail prices? Because what that's going to do is that's going to give you an idea of your whole gamut of margins, right? And so then what you can do is take those ideas and that concept and see, one, is it a viable business? Or is it, you know, you're going to do a lotion or a hand cream or a face cream, make sure that there's enough margin in it. And then two, go and start contacting manufacturers. I always recommend contacting manufacturers that you can actually visit. Because in today's world, especially online, there's a lot of brokerages that aren't actually manufacturing products.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend, once you've kind of decided that, yes, this is something I can do, I would start calling manufacturers, sign those NDAs, sign those, you know, don't be afraid to sign the R&D contracts or whatever you need to sign, and start sharing with them your idea and start collecting costs and seeing all your total packaging, you know, that you have to purchase. And then I also would start testing the market slowly, ask them for samples, see if you can buy some samples, sell it to your friends, see if you can take it to some buyers at your local Whole Foods, if that's your market, or a local retailer, and just ask them to evaluate your concept. You know, use current retail customers as kind of your own Shark Tank jobs, you know, to see what they think about it and get feedback, and then be open to that feedback, because that's really important. I see a lot of business owners get married to a concept that just doesn't connect with other people, mm-hmm. and then they're not able to take that business very far. So the step number one is, you know, definitely do your research. Make sure you have a market and find out what your competitors are doing, selling, so you know your numbers of where you need to be at. And then step number two, take it to some manufacturers. Go to the local ones if you can and have them look at it. And just to give you an idea of the ballpark of the price. And then step number three is get a mock-up, get some product samples, and then shop it around. See what people's ideas, thoughts are, you know, and try it on Amazon if you're a startup. Try it on eBay. See if anybody even, or your Facebook page, see if anybody connects to it. And then if they do, great, run with it. If they don't, refine your message, refine your story behind the product, and then sell it again. And then I would go to production. I would never start out buying 1,000 of them and then going to production and seeing if it works. That's a very expensive lesson.
Yeah. So your recommendation, though, is to have a really small run, like a small run of a few dozen samples.
Try to
sell them before you do a big production run.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, Perry, I'm sure if you've made something, you know, a lotion or a cream and like a clove scent and nobody likes clove, you know, it's good. Sometimes we think what we love is what the customers are going to love, but that's oftentimes not the case.
Right. I think that's a key point, is that you really are making products for a customer. You're not making them for yourself.
Yes, it is a key point, unless you've got a million friends that are, you know, just like you that want to buy it. But yeah, that's right. You're really there to serve your customers, and you've got to, you know, get outside of your formula and being married to it and see if, you know, if that's what the customer needs and if that's what the client needs, and be okay with maybe it's not. Maybe it's just not the right scent or the right timing, because, you know, everything has its right time. Hand sanitizers 10 years ago you couldn't sell, and then, you know, it was like all of a sudden a mass rush for some hand sanitizers, and now no one wants to buy them. So everything has its right season. So if it's not the right time for your product, just, you know, put it on a shelf and get prepared for when it does become the right time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Melody, we could probably talk for another hour or so, but we have come kind of to the end of our time here. If somebody wanted to get in contact with you, what would be the best way to do that?
Sure. My favorite way, obviously, is Twitter, and my Twitter handle is at @PrivateLabelTip, or you can go to my website at PrivateLabelInsider.com, and I have a form there. If you have a question, please feel free to leave it there, and I'd love to talk to you.
Great, and we will put links to both your Twitter feed and your website on our podcast notes. But thank you so much, Melody. This has all been very enlightening. It's my hope that this will inspire somebody with an idea for a cosmetic line to get out there and just do something about it. It's so sad to me that there are so many people with ideas that just stay in their head and nothing happens.
I agree, Perry. I agree, and I love what you're doing. I mean, like I said, you are a rock star, the most famous chemist out there, I promise you.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that's all we have for the program. I just have a couple of announcements. First, there is still time to get into the Cosmetic Launch Coach program. This is an 8-lesson course which teaches you exactly how to launch your own cosmetic line. You can sign up by going to startacosmeticline.com/CLC. We only have a limited number of students that we can take at any time, so if you are interested in starting your cosmetic product business, now is the time to sign up. Next, I'll be speaking at the St. Louis SCC meeting on February 11, 2013. If you are in the St. Louis area and you want to see a talk about cosmetic formulation, then please be sure to stop by. You can see the St. Louis SCC website for more information. I'd like to remind you that the Cosmetic Science Forum is still up and running. We've had some great discussions there, so be sure to sign up and join the conversations. We have over 2,000 cosmetic chemists and formulators who have already joined. The advice you get there is excellent, and best of all, it's free. Go to the Chemist Corner website and click on the Forum button to join. Finally, we are on social media, so please follow us on Twitter, the handle is Chemist Corner, and like our page on Facebook, the Cosmetic Chemist Corner page. We'll have links to both of them in the show notes. Well, that's all I've got. Thanks for listening. Now, go make a difference.